for those who were here last week, we were concentrating on the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord led us to look at meditations and revelations. And I was emphasizing that, you see, it's not enough just to understand the grace of the season. It's important that Christians know how to function as spiritual beings. And so that things don't just happen to you, so that you can learn the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and God can speak to you personally. And so you can begin to know, like, if I have a dream in the night, what kind of dream is it? What kind of dream is it? How do I interpret it? Do I go to a book that has if I see a cow is it? If I see a dog is this. So this is what we call spiritual interpretation. Because it's not a bad thing, but it's a lower level of interpretation, because the people in scripture did not have books to look at. Okay? So that means there's a higher realm where you can operate. When you sing, why do we sing specific songs in specific seasons? How do we know the song for the season? How do we know what the Spirit is moving? You know, the general moves of the Spirit, the general moves for the church, the general moves for a nation, the moves for you. Okay? How do you distinguish those ones? How do I know when a gifting has been bestowed upon me? How do I operate in it? How do I function in it? Do I just come and sit and wait for a man of God to pick me out and say, by the way, you have the gift of healing? And it's a shock to you, eh? And so I always, my biggest desire is always for people, and what the mandate the Spirit of the Lord has placed upon me, is to usher you into some of these deeper things, so that they don't just become warlocks or to you, eh? So you don't just come, attend, and leave, attend, and leave. I want you to have results, eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. And so last week, some of the things we touched on revelation, we touched on meditation. And I remember, you see, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Eh? Study. And I was emphasizing how studying is a function of the mind, which is in your soul. But meditation is a function of the Spirit. Okay? So meditation is not the same thing as studying. It's a spirit aspect, and I was talking about that and showing the difference. Eh? And today we're going to see how far the Spirit of the Lord takes us, depending on your openness. Eh? I believe in practicability of preaching. Eh? So we're going farther and farther away from theory. Now you're ready to be practical in the things of the Lord. Eh? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Eh? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. I want you to pay attention. This is very important for you. Eh? Okay. I'm reading for the KJV. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Verse 16. "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in what? In the inner man." It says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly." I think that's what it says. Huh? It says exceeding, not exceedingly abundantly. Huh? It says exceeding abundantly. It says, because the meanings are different. Yeah. And it says, "above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." All right. Now, the Bible says in Thessalonians that you have a body, soul, spirit. You have a body, soul, and spirit. And I'm sure you've heard continuously the different functions of those. Paul, in this particular scripture, please listen to me. Please listen to me. So that you don't get lost in this particular aspect. Otherwise, you're going to get lost down the road. Eh? Paul says in this particular scripture, and he refers to the spirit man as the inner man. The spirit man is the inner man. There is an outer man to the inner man, which is the soul. Huh? Okay? Then there is the extreme outer man, that is the body. You with me? Okay. Now, Last week when I was talking about revelation, it's important that you understand that revelation flows in levels and categories. Okay? There are levels. The highest level, actually, there's seven. The highest level of revelation is of God himself. When God comes and tells you something, nothing can change it. Alright? That's the highest level of revelation. The lowest level is perception. Perception. In between there are other levels. Amongst which is, right after that, is angels. Right after God, the angels. So angels come, as I mentioned last week, they come and they give understanding and revelation. Alright? Based on scripture, we won't go through it. It can, or it may or may not, depending on the reception of the person, come to pass. Then we have the fivefold. Okay? That dispense revelation here on earth. Then we have what we call general prophecy. General prophecy in there is included. Now, general prophecy, that means a prophet is not prophesying. Okay? It means us. All right? General prophecy, but in there also includes tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Okay? Then we have a level of vision and dreams. Revelation can come through visions and dreams that may or may not come to pass. Alright? Then we have humans, where God now just uses normal people to bring you a revelation. Then lastly is perception. Are those seven? Was right. Well, you guys just looking at me. Okay? There are seven levels of revelation that comes. The highest of which is when God gives you a revelation, the lowest of which is when you get perception. Now, I was explaining to a few people I was sitting with the other day that you see, most people have issues. Most people have issues when someone comes and says, let me use someone who I know is not risky. Let me use him. If someone is married, someone comes and says you will get married, and says on August 4th, 2018, when someone says that, and so you jump and you say, yes, I have received the prophecy and it's going to come to pass. And surely it's going to come to pass. Now, I was explaining to a group of people yesterday that you see, what you need to understand is that when someone is in the office and based on the relationship of God they have, when they're in the office of a prophet, when they prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, nothing can change that. Okay? Nothing. Whether you go to sleep at night, you pray or not, it will what? Because it's a word, if God has used the person as an instrument. So he's the one now speaking to you. Now I'm talking about people who are mature in the spirit, not these random guys who come to you and say, that says the Lord. I'm talking about who has a person who has a track record. Comes to you and speaks and says, that says the Lord. Now, there is a place when a man of God, even a person in the office of a prophet, when they do not say, that says the Lord, and they say, they give a prophecy, you're going to get married August 14th, whatever. Now, when they do that, they've seen it, that means in the realm of the spirit, it's a possibility. Okay? I'm explaining for those who weren't with me yesterday. It's a possibility. That means it can come to pass. Alright? Now, because it's a possibility, whenever it is a possibility, you don't sit back. There are things you're supposed to do to ensure that word comes to pass. And I can explain a number of them. There are many, but there are number. Number one, you can pray. You add your prayer onto what has been said. Now, it's important I say this, that if a person who is in the office of a prophet hasn't been seen, can say something and it's a possibility. You can also get a general prophecy and it's a possibility. But someone can also randomly speak and it's a possibility. Right? Or you can speak to yourself and it's a possibility. All of them you can decide. So, what does he do? You can, number one, you can pray about it. Now, how do you know? Because how would someone say, okay, pray. I've had all that before. Acts chapter 15. Actually, before we go to Acts chapter 15, the Bible says that Paul was taken somewhere in Acts, in the book of Acts. Paul is told to go somewhere. He's put on a ship. When he's put on a ship, what happens is, if you look through scripture, before that, let me not confuse you. Let me give you possibilities. Let me back up scripture. Jesus says, Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he says, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat. It's a possibility. Huh? But I have prayed that you may not fall. So he has changed it.
Amen.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
The Bible says that Isaiah comes to him and says, you shall die. He prays. In other words, it's a possibility. And he changes it. So he alters the course of things. So prayer is necessary to change or make something come to pass. One. Secondly, you can act in faith. Like I was explaining. Act in faith. If someone tells you you're going to get married, don't sit back and say, Musa Jariwa. No. What you do? Go look at wedding gowns. Alright? Find people who have been married. Talk about how's marriage. What? Why are you asking? Because I feel like I'm going to get married soon. This is pregnant, it's coming. You understand? You're creating expectation. You're acting in faith. You're not just sleeping. It awakens the possibility. Third, you can sow for the possibility. So someone speaks and you say, hallelujah. You sow into it. You cement it. You with me? You can testify beforehand. Now, you guys, based on your reception, you will determine how far you go. You can testify, all those cement a possibility. You with me? Now, which brings me now, like I was saying, yeah? So there are things that are possibilities. There are possibilities even in dreams. Because when a person dreams, it's a possibility. Okay, I dreamt like I was getting married. Say, hey, but I dreamt that this guy. Now, I explained to a few people yesterday that there's a difference between soulish dreams and spiritual dreams. Now, you know that, but perhaps you can't tell the difference. And that's not even what I'm thinking about today. But you see, when a dream is in the soul of a person, spiritual dreams are important. Soulish dreams are just as important. So it's a soulish dream that you live in. A soulish dream tells you the state of your soul. Huh? So in other words, I give an example. For example, someone broke your heart. God forbid. No more, yeah? Someone broke your heart. Someone breaks your heart 1 year later. I'm fine. But you're having dreams where the person, I had a dream like I was still with that guy. What your soul is telling you is that you think you're over it, you're not. Huh? And here's the thing about soulish dreams. You can't lie to yourself. You can't. So they tell you the state of your soul. That's not what we're sharing for today, but it's important. Eh? Okay? So there can be possibilities in the realm of dreams and visions. Alright. So I said the highest place of revelation is God. The lowest of revelation is perception. Perception is the will of the soul. The body has a will, the spirit has a will, the soul has a will. Paul says, therefore I bring my body under subjection. When you bring a body under subjection, it means it has some sort of a will. The Bible says it is God who works in you both to will and to do. He's not talking about willing in the soul. It's a will in the spirit. Then there's a will that you have in your soul that is perception. Perception is the ability, all of us, to be able to somehow perceive the future. Every man, born again or not, can perceive. We're together?
Yes.
Okay. Now, like I said, the levels of revelation, from the highest to the lowest, which is perception. Perception in itself has levels. I won't go into them. But what you need to understand is that it is impossible for a person to have revelation, even from God, without some level of perception. You see, if you had revelation with zero perception, in other words, your own will, you would be a robot. God will tell you you do. He'll tell you you do. In the other side, if you have total perception, but zero revelation, you're absolutely human. as in you're living your life without God. That makes sense. Huh?
Yeah.
All right. So those are levels of personality. Now, please understand that a spiritual man, if a man was spiritual, and actually, if a natural man went to the spirit world, if he was 100% natural, he would enter the spirit world and it wouldn't make sense. In the same way, if a spiritual man, untrained in natural things, came to the natural world, he would struggle to explain to you what is spirit. You with me? Yeah. So you come and say, that's why Paul says, things that can't be uttered, there are things that cannot be uttered. Now, please understand that the scripture we read, Ephesians chapter 3, in it Paul says that the Spirit of God might strengthen your inner man, which is the Spirit. Now, the strength of your inner man determines the level at which God works through you. I mentioned that last week. Okay? And I'm going to show you how you can actually do that. I pray you're with me. Alright? Now, I told you that the lowest level is perception. And so, people begin to perceive. You perceive things of the future. You can just, somehow you know. You know, you have a sense of knowing when it comes to things of the future. You have a semblance of it. Now, here's my question. Get a mic. What is reality? How do you define reality? Yes. Come here. Yes. Huh? Quick.
To me, reality is something that, a truth that you acknowledge to be part of you.
A truth that you acknowledge to be part of you. Huh? Someone else. I need two more people. What is reality? Huh?
Something that you see. Something that is visible to you.
Okay. Reality is something that is visible to you. Huh? Someone? Yes?
The indisputable affairs of matters.
Ah! I want someone.
What is that?
The state of things. The state of things. How they actually exist.
Okay, the state of things, how they actually exist. One more person. Yes.
I think reality is whatever you're conscious of.
Okay, reality is whatever you're conscious of. You're all right, because here, no one's wrong, eh? Okay, now, listen carefully. If I ask you, what is more real, your body or your soul?
Your soul.
Come on, what is more real, your body or your soul? The body is all right. Now, this is where you need to get it, because you're all right, I told you here, no one's wrong, eh? Now, listen carefully. Your body is real in the fact that you can touch it. Yet the Bible refers to fleshly things as vapors. Yeah? It refers to a natural thing as vapor. Actually, in the realm of the spirit, if you stood in the spirit realm and looked at the natural, it would look foggy. Because any time, it can go. And that's why time applies to it. All right? But now you see, the soul is also real because your emotions are real. Huh? Love is real. Anger is real. Understand? Pain in its various forms is real. You can't start telling someone who has gone through the deepest part of you know your pain is not real because it's not body. It can't be touched. So that means there's a reality in the soul. But there's also a reality, some form of a reality in the spirit. Right? Now, let me help you guys. In the natural, there are real things that you can touch, but there are also unreal realities. In other words, right now in this room, we have what? Radio waves that are just bouncing off. You can't see them, but they're real. Okay? They're atoms. You can't see them, but they're real. They're not real in the sense that they can be touched. But they have a reality, a sense of it. In the realm of the spirit, the categorization is similar. There are things in the spirit that are real, but there are things in the spirit that are unreal.
Oh Lord. Okay, let me explain. You see, faith and belief are so powerful on the face of this earth that if you believed there was a man with a donkey's head, if all of us believed it in the spirit you created, in fact, if you entered the spirit realm, if we went together, I'll show you the real things and the unreal ones. Hey, guys. You're with me? So that all of a sudden I show you a man with a donkey's head. And because a number of people have believed that he exists, he is there in the spirit, but he's temporary as long as they believe. You getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As long as that, as people believe that man exists, he's there. That means the life of that creature is given by belief. You drown out that belief, you've killed it. Actually, in the spirit, and I know what I'm talking about. If you went and saw, and I don't know why I've chosen a man with a donkey's head, but it's so ridiculous, you'll understand what I'm saying. In the spirit, if you entered and went to a place, you'd see angels, you'd see demons, and they're as real can be. But then you'll see this man with a donkey's head that has been created by a mass of people who believe in him. Now, if you do not believe him, when you encounter him, it's like fog. You can. When someone who believes in him enters the realm, they'll touch him. Is this too? Huh? And so when they touch that man, to them, he's real. To sort the problem out, I need to get the focus of this guy from that man with the donkey's head. And he will cease to exist. Now, the devil, because in the realm of the spirit, faith and fear are as powerful. You see, faith is so powerful, it can create something. In the same way, fear is so powerful, and the devil uses fear. And so that's why some people, when they go to certain places, they see characters they've seen in movies show up to them. The guy was in my room. He was in my room, and yet in the spirit is actually an unreal reality. Are you getting it? Give me a horror movie for those who watch horror movies. Okay. I want. Okay, let's say Anaconda. Let's say Anaconda. I need you to listen to me, please. I'm explaining something here. Let's say Anaconda. You get Anaconda. All of a sudden, the thing, one night you are sleeping and it appears in your room. And you see, in all true sense, I told a story where Kenneth Hagin said he saw a demon upon someone. And the Lord appeared. And kept on watching as this demon was around this guy. And was doing nothing. Jesus, the Lord of glory, is standing next to a demon and looking at this guy waiting for him to do something. Then Kenneth Hagin deals with it. Then the Lord tells him, if you did not do anything about it, I could not. And Kenneth Hagin tells him, you mean you would not? He says, no, I could not. I gave the power to deal with demons to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Eh? You're with me? So there are real realities. That's why you find sometimes you can shift. When you shift, you go to a place where people believe in a certain entity. And even though you don't, when you dream, he shows up. And I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. So some people, you shift house. And as you're shifting house, you sleep. And all of a sudden, you see a guy standing in the corner. But where did this guy come from? But even the people that were in that house had a sense of fear of some guy. So he showed up. But in true essence, he can do nothing to you. Okay? Perhaps I needed to clarify on all that. Yeah? So that you can understand that, you see, possibilities can be created by you. Yeah? In essence, now listen carefully. In the realm of the spirit, a person can create. You can create through envisioning. You can create through speaking. But there is another way of creation that people don't know. The fruits of the spirit create. Oh, Lord. Now, you see, a person can envision something and it shows up. You spend time meditating, your vision, it shows up. Someone can spend time speaking, and you're ushered into the thing of what you spoke. But very few understand that actually the fruits of the Spirit have the power to create and are more powerful than the other two. Much more powerful. You see, the Bible says when a person has visions, actually, that there's something they call vain imaginations. Actually, your imagination can even be corrupted if you're not careful. When it comes to speaking, even your speech can be corrupted. But the fruits of the Spirit are incorruptible. Now, let me give you an example. The moment a person, and the most powerful of which is love, the moment a person meditates and envisions love, if you look through Scripture, most of the things that Jesus did, he did a number of things through envision, he did a number of things through speaking, but none compared the healings that he did were through love. People got up because of compassion. Are you getting me? So what you don't know is that love, actually the fruits of the Spirit, insulate you. They can't be corrupted. Language is speaking. Yeah? They can't be corrupted, but they have a power to create in the realm of the Spirit. The moment you meditate and envision and sit on love, just love, how did Christ love? I mean, you're building yourself, and what happens is, funny guys that come your way, either they're expelled or they conform. Envisioning doesn't just demon.
Okay.
And we know that there's a place where a person can speak. Me, I know. I was told the other day of guys who went somewhere, started casting out a demon looking at them. They're quoting scriptures looking at them. That means the place where a person is just speaking, and nothing is happening. But tell me you operate and where those nine fruits have dwelt in your spirit, even if you don't speak. I know what I'm talking about. Okay, so there are realities in the realm of the spirit and unreal things. Reality, true reality, is divided into three things. Three. For those who are writing anyway. Three things. The first is revelation. The second is perception, like I've explained. And the third is what? That is what? Yes. Envisioning. Deep guys, Okay, I'm going to get to the third one. Let me start. The first is what? Revelation. Where something is a reality, God puts something in your spirit. And it's real because it is in spirit. The second is perception is real because it's in soul. Perception is a soulish thing. The last is the natural world. Okay? The natural world. Something is real because you touch it. Praise the Lord. You with me? Okay. Now, you see, I have found over time that there are ways to build your man in the spirit for him to be able to capture the realities of the spirit so that you don't end up just I don't know what's going on. Man of God, help me. You grow your spirit and grow it to the level where you can be able to see and perceive things yourself. You see, we call it locating your spirit man. Because I know a huge percentage of you sit there and say, now, is this the Lord speaking? Or is it me? So when we tell you to prophesy, people mind over matter. So you just, your name is Johan. You say, no, it is Johan, you just don't know. So you force, by the way, it's not a sin. The kingdom of God suffers violence. Anyway, so you need to learn to locate your spirit man. One of the ways to locate your spirit man, there are a number, but I'm going to give you a few. One is speaking in tongues. Now, of course, you know, you've read the scriptures. It says, build yourself up. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, please understand that most people actually don't know, and I gave a breakdown of tongues here, but most people don't really
they haven't appreciated what it is. You see, tongues in their sense have three things in your body that are involved in the speaking of tongues. One is your diaphragm when you breathe. Second is your lips. Third is your tongue. There are people when they are praying in tongues only use their diaphragm. By the way, let me tell you, the Spirit refers to it as a groaning. Yeah? You see, yeah? It's a form of tongues. Eh? It's you're just using one aspect. There is another way you use now. You use your tongue, but the people who use your tongue, it's free. The tongue is free, but it's not free flow. So what happens is, now please know that because God is God and because the Spirit of God is upon you, you actually speak in tongues. Because I know when someone is speaking with tongues. I know. That's for another day. Now, but there's a place where, and like last week, I think the other week I told you, there's a place where you speak tongues and you're just speaking one word. Someone is just ma, ta, ta, you know? And so on and so forth. And you say, but really, this is a tongue. It can be a tongue. It can. But you see, I have found that by the Spirit, you can widen your vocabulary. You can. And I know what I'm talking about. You can. And you see, how do you widen your in order to widen your vocabulary, you need to learn to feel your spirit. How do you feel your spirit? The Bible says that there's a man called Elisha. He wants the anointing upon who?
Elijah.
He wants the anointing upon Elijah. He cries for it. What happens is that a cloak falls. When the cloak falls, it's the only sign that he has got what? He doesn't feel power on him. How do we know he doesn't feel power on him? Because he goes to the Jordan and says, where is the God of Elijah? Why would he ask that? He felt absolutely nothing. Now, I need you to understand, because that's the same thing as when you receive a prophecy or when you receive an impartation. You can feel absolutely zero. And yet, a good thing is lying on you. But because you're waiting for it. Eh? So, when you're waiting for it, what do? You need to learn to activate it. Because if you look through scripture, Elisha goes, where is the God of Elijah? It shows up, the Jordan separates it, he parts it. We get some sense that he didn't yet understand what was upon him. And I'm going to show you why. Because that's chapter 1, 2 Kings. That's verse 1. Forgotten. Yeah, chapter 1, 2 Kings. In chapter 3, the same Elisha, now they call for him. They say, is there not a prophet in Israel? And scripture says, they said, there is Elisha who is to pour water on the hands of Elijah. So they call him, he comes. As they're calling him, he says, you know what? I don't want to deal with Ahab, but because of Jehoshaphat, I will come. So he comes. Now imagine, war is looming. They need a prophetic word. And the man says, bring Ahab. And says, play. Now, I want you to imagine, because the Bible doesn't say how long.
Depends.
So I want you to imagine, there's an army across, and a prophet is sitting, listening to.
You guys.
And what is he doing? He's trying to ignite the spirit. He's trying to feel it. He's creating an atmosphere. So you don't feel 100% all the time, then I feel the spirit upon me, the spirit of the Lord upon me. So from that day, what happens is that he begins to prophesy, and I'm going to show you, he begins to prophesy, and what happens is we don't see any more ignition. You understand? Now he's walking in the thing. Walking in things, does miracles, does double Elijah. Now, this is why I was telling you, it's possible for something to come upon you and you don't feel it, but you need to learn to locate it. One way is the speaking in tongues. Now when you speak in the tongues, what happens is, you can change the tonation. Lord help me. You see, now, there's a place where a person puts themselves alone. Feels themselves. I don't even know how to explain. Language is failing me. And you begin to add vocabulary as the Spirit works through you. And the words begin to be separated. Ranzete kerebo la senderebo seya. And what happens is, as you speak, what happens is the Spirit, as He walks through you, the pronunciation, even the pausing comes in. Now what happens is, as you do so, you locate your spirit. I guarantee you, you can't fail to locate your spirit man. And you see, let me be wrong of your glory. Let me give you an example. Some people need music to help. Mandere boshenere bosondo. Nia yontere basenere. Roma serebo. Nia yontara sere. Randa la 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 boshondore assia. You can stop that. Now what happens is, in the process, you locate your spirit. You're with me? Paul says in Acts, I think it's 1 Corinthians 14:14. He says, when I pray in the spirit, I pray with my understanding, but I pray in the spirit also. He says, I sing with my understanding, I sing in the spirit also. And that what happens is, you see, singing doesn't necessarily have to be tuning. It can actually, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 5:13, it says they sang in one sound. And so you locate your spirit man, and he begins to, and all of a sudden, I feel the spirit of prophecy here. And so, what happens is that a minister who has learned to tap in spiritual things, when they are coming here to minister, they spend less time looking for scriptures and more time from Sunday devotion. And you come and you begin to pick people. Okay? Right? Are you guys just clear? Okay. So you locate in tongues. There's another location where a person can locate through dreams and visions. Now this is what I kind of tapped it. I won't go so much into it because it's a whole topic of its own. But you can actually locate your spirit man through dreams and visions. And I told you that there are dreams that are soulish, and there are dreams, because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, I think it's 5, it says dreams arise as a result of activity in the day. So you can just be thinking around and something comes. But you see, there are dreams that originate from the spirit. And when they come... Lord help me. Language is failing me. How many dreamers do we have here? I'm talking about dreamers of dreams. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. All of us dream. All of us dream. Dreamers. Because you see, the people that God speaks primarily through dreams. He speaks to them primarily through dreams. And actually, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 13, 1 that they're actually like prophets. If anything, they are another kind of prophet. And remember when I started, I talked about the different breakdowns. And I said one of them, I think it was the fifth, is dreams and visions. Dreams and visions have a level of possibility. And you can actually soar towards a dream. And so you receive a dream, and it's positive, and you soar towards it. I guarantee you. Whether it was a soulish dream or not. Because you guys need to know. The power of sowing. Another sermon for another day. Very, very powerful. And so, don't neglect your dream world. You see, there is a state in the spirit before you go to sleep. Just as you're going to sleep. And just before you wake up. Where the veil in the spirit realm opens. You see, right now, every single one of us has a spirit, and that spirit is seeing the spirit realm. Right now, your spirit is seeing the spirit realm. The difference is that your soul hasn't got the information. You see, the Bible says, let me give you, the Bible says that Pharaoh, Genesis 41 verse 8, the Bible says that Pharaoh woke up, Pharaoh who Joseph met, and the Bible says he was troubled in his spirit.
because of the dream that he had. His soul was incapable of interpreting what the spirit had got. And yet somehow he knew his spirit had got something. And so a person finds that the constant, the more constant, especially when you like pray in tongues and when it, music is extremely powerful, it's one of those things, how you can locate your spirit. Music is one way. You usher in and it ushers you to the spirit realm. Extremely powerful. You see, the Bible says that there are 144,000. You've read about them in Revelation? 144,000 guys. Scripture says in heaven, they are the only ones who sing a particular song. The only ones. That means even if you enter the spirit realm and try to sing it, you'll say the words. But the tonation and the punctuality and the experience of the song, you'll not get. Because you did not go through what they went through. There are songs that are particular to our spiritual experience. Huh? That's why if you look through scripture, actually, when the Lord allows, I'll look at time. Eh? The time realm and the spirit realm, eternity realm. In the time realm, in the realm of the heavenlies, whenever a major event takes place in the world, the song changes in the spirit. And I know what I'm talking about. Let me give you scripture. The Bible says that Isaiah is taken up to heaven. Eh? And it says, angels are singing, holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty. Then they sing, give me Isaiah 6. Verse 1. I think, yeah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon the throne. Huh? What is it? High lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Go on. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings with twain. Those things, twain things, mostly. Go to holy. And one cried unto another and said, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. The Bible says the whole earth is full of his glory. Yet when they go to the heavens in Revelation, when John is taken up, they're not singing the whole earth is full of his glory. They're singing now a time realm of God. They're saying who was, who is. Ah! The song changed. Okay. All right. That's why when I was teaching on worship, I said you can pick up on the seasons in your life through the songs that are put in your spirit. Huh?
The Lord has just given me something.
You see, yeah? Try to give this example. Huh? You see, yeah? If you meet a Tango guy, ladies, and a guy is interested in you, yeah? And says, and the first song that comes into your heart is, looking back over my shoulder. Every time I see this guy, I'm just like, looking back. Run! Oh my God!
I don't think God is a comedian.
But you see, so you see, so you take note of the songs.
Oh my God.
Huh? Oh, at first I was afraid. I was thinking something. Oh my God. Every time I meet this guy, I get this song, it's like, run. And then you go before God, when I meet God, I'm going to ask him, but surely, why didn't you warn me? He said, but I put a song in your spirit.
Run.
Now you guys, that's the only part you're going to remember. I know how you guys can be. Okay, praise the Lord. So you begin to realize that music plays a very vital role. It's a way to locate your spirit. Dreams are a way to locate your spirit man. Operating in love, love is a way to locate your spirit man. Because the more you meditate on love, the more you start to operate in love. What happens is that when you envision, you can envision like Jesus did. You can speak like Jesus did. But you're never more Christ-like like when you love. Ah. You understand? Now what happens is that when you love, you see, there's a place where a person loves and they've tapped into, as long as you love, you're tapping into spirit. But when you tap into agape love, you are the spirit. Yeah. I'm telling you, because we know there are different kinds of love. We won't go into them today. Mm-hmm. Eh?
But some of them are not exactly what you think. Eh? Eh? Especially the Eros one. Eh? It's not just what you think. But so there are ways to locate your spirit. Those are ways in which a person can actually locate the inner man. And they begin to function in the things of the spirit. They seem simple, but they're extremely crucial for you to enter into these things. And I know what I'm talking about, because I know what it takes. You see, right now, let me give you an example. I said your body, soul, spirit. If I just did this, if I picked up my phone, like I picked it up, my body has picked it up. Okay? When I pick up the phone and read something, my soul has picked up with the body. Huh? Now, when I pick up to read something and it's scripture, my spirit has got involved. But you guys, eh?
Yeah.
You act like I'm telling you things that are just it. You understand? My spirit has got involved. And last week I was telling you that there are 5 senses of the body. There are 5 of the spirit. But there are also 5 of the soul. That's why I tell you there are more senses than you know. How do you know there are 5 of the soul? Do you know it is possible for you to remember a smell?
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Yes.
And so you remember, but the smell is not there. But you remember it and it even comes. But you see, it's an inner sense. Huh? Your physical eyes can see someone. Your soul eyes can see through imagination. And your spirit eyes can see what is spirit. All are eyes. We agree? Yeah? Praise the Lord. Yeah? Huh? Speaking gibberish? No. Because I know. I know when you want to be chumcated. And I know when it's time for you to get hard meat. And so you practice these things, and when you practice, you enter them. Don't think these men of God just woke up one morning. Men and women of God just woke up one morning and were sitting at the top of a mountain. Oh, these random funny fellas, they say, how did you do it? They set a ceremony. Guy sets an entire session, so people come and attend to ask to find out how he did it. Doesn't really tell you anything new. Tells you the same thing. Steve Jobs said the same thing. They fall around the same thing. You need to read hard. And so you need to work hard. And so you need to work. But you see, you're doing all those things. I know guys who attend those things, like, religiously. And that's why I tell you, there is a threshold unless you cross into spirit. Either evil, you can't. You're living in fantasy world. Remember I told you, is Mickey Mouse real? Mickey Mouse is not real, and yet he makes more money than all of us here. Oh my, Mickey Mouse, a cartoon that someone picked and just drew. More money than Mickey Mouse. No baka what's here. Praise the Lord. Okay? So, Mickey Mouse is what we call an unreal reality. Someone picked him from the spirit and the world believed his reality. And he's even making money. Lord, I must get you, we can touch. Eh? You mean we can touch you, but you think, Lord, the brother be 88 itself. Huh? He gives us the power. I am a sincere Mickey Mouse. Unreal realities. And you see, just like that person picked from the spirit and created a being, you can pick from the spirit. Listen to me carefully. You can pick from the spirit. And you see, that's the biggest issue. Because we have been so physically oriented that we're convinced that what we don't touch is, what we can't touch is unreal. Huh? Convinced. Now, I'm telling you this because I know exactly how I put certain things into my life. We spend time. I was telling a few people yesterday, I sat when I'm at home. A person can come past by me and I'm just looking. Saying, but you, what are you doing? You're just there, seeing, creating. There are days, as you're seated, you can be carried. And those days I used to fear, what if they carry me and they don't come back? Not a thing. Eh? And I was explaining to people, actually, one day I'll explain this a bit deeper. that actually your spirit man, your spirit and soul are not located in your belly, but for another day. Huh? For another day. So you're like your body, soul, spirit, and this is why I need you to get all these things, because there are times you can have a dream and there are two of you. One represents the soul, the other the spirit.
Yes.
And I know what I'm talking about. Both of them can appear. There are times one can appear and you need to discern who. That's why, last time you know I told you, your spirit man can talk to your soul in your voice. And you hear your voice, you hear your voice, but actually it is your soul speaking. Or your spirit speaking to your soul. But when the Lord allows, I'm going to teach on spirit will and soul will, the difference between the two. And how you can differentiate. How do you know the move of the Lord at a particular point in time? Because we have found, over time, people think that I can just pick, you know? It's what's the power of sowing? So you sow, and things happen. Then one day you sow nothing. And you start, now see, I was telling people yesterday, you see what the Spirit of the Lord does. He'll put you in a place where you think you actually believe a principle. Let it first not work. Will you continue?
Lord have mercy.
Because most of us actually believe in a principle because it's
working.
Huh? But you see there's a place, and you see there's a place of maturity where in spite of environment, you just continue doing the thing. That is a place of maturity. And we call it rest. Huh? Do you know? Someone asked me a question. They said, you've given this seven. God or the Trinity at the top and perception at the lowest. Said, why doesn't God just come and speak to us all the time instead of this perception thing that's giving us it? And I told him that, you see, you need to understand that the Spirit of the Lord, it was never the intention of God. Because if God kept on appearing to you and telling you things to do, you'd be a robot, like I said. And so what he wants is your will to be conformed to his. That means the place of perception is very important, because one day what the Lord wants is for you to make your own decision, and it's his.
Hallelujah.
In other words, you give your opinion and it's been so conformed, it is his.
Amen.
That's what he wants. And that's why a relationship begins. So it's every time Jesus is not going to appear to you. And I can guarantee you, no matter how highly placed the person is, they don't see all the time, they don't hear all the time. There are points where they're going to have to use faith. I'm telling you, no matter how high ranked they are, because the kingdom of heaven, you see, one day when you enter the spirit, you realize that where God is, there is no fear, but faith is predominant. But here on earth, faith is hard and fear is easy. It's easy, very easy. Actually, it's a default. When we're born into crying, yeah? It's a default. It's part of our body. And so we have to be trained to transition away from it and transition to a place of faith. And then you will see, like Jesus said, if you look in the scripture, Jesus tells Peter, you know what time is it? Let me finish. Pass away. Okay. Okay.
What was I saying?
I wish I can sometimes, because you see, what you don't know is that even I make sure that when I'm ministering, I look at every face in this room. And there's no one here I have not looked at personally. I make sure, and I know why. It's better here when people are few. I can tell the sense of your reception. And you see, I was telling someone that I can tell by the room. I start from the lowest person. The person who's receiving the message. That determines that. The roof. That's how it is, eh? Especially for teachers. Eh?
Praise the Lord.
So you determine. So when you see me at times, say, ah, that one is one. I know that someone will walk out. It is better that all of you walk out saying, yeah, I got something, than one person getting lost, that the rest of you are talking deep stuff. The Lord will put me on occasion for that. Because usually after we finish ministry, we don't just go and chill. I'll go, I'll spend at least an hour or two going through what I've just said. Anyway, that's not necessary. But I know, because it's a spiritual principle. Because the purity, remember this gold, silver, and so on, how much was me? How much was God? How much was a combination of both and so on and so forth? Extremely. That's why he said, be at the same wavelength as me. Please, eh? Because I'm about to wind up. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And I know most of you operate at perception level. Eh? Natural perception. I don't know. I feel like this fellowship is not good. Perception level. Yeah? Natural perception. Now, you see, there's a place in scripture, like I said, where your opinion, God wants your opinion to become his. And the Bible says in Acts 15 that certain men, if you read the story, 15 verse 1, that there are men, Christians, who started saying that in order to be a Christian Jew, in adulterating Gentiles, you need to be circumcised. Paul comes and says, man, what is this nonsense you're talking? And the Bible says, and they disputed amongst themselves. Now imagine the Christians, they're disputing. Then the Bible says they agreed. And they went now to Jerusalem where the council was. When they got to Jerusalem where the council was, if you look through scripture, the Bible says, and Peter stood up and began. They began to debate. Imagine with the apostles. They are debating. Should there be circumcision? Should they what? In other words, in this whole thing, God is quiet. Now these are apostles. Eh? Peter, James, John, Paul, the deep guy is also there. And they are debating. God is? What does the Bible say? The Bible says first Peter spoke. After Peter spoke, then they turned to Paul and Barnabas, and those guys stood up and he said, the Lord did mighty miracles. What? After they finished, James now speaks. James says, brethren, this and this. Then, the Bible says, and they sent Paul, Barnabas, and two other guys back to Antioch. Because they had come to a consensus. Never there did they say that God showed up on the street. They asked God. They just came to a consensus and said, the Gentiles don't need to be circumcised. And that's why if you look at this, give me verse 22 of that scripture. I love that verse. Actually, I love 25 more, but verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders. Another version says, it pleased them. Give me verse 25. It says, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Then he goes on and says, he sent a letter. And that letter is saying, so we have decided that Gentiles shouldn't be. God is nowhere in that mix. But you see how interesting they say, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send 25 chosen men unto you. Give me 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. So now they're saying it was good to the Holy Ghost also. But in the entire time, God wasn't in the mix. They were, should we, should it, why? They were discussing. And in that process, it's scripture.
Amen.
So there's a place of perception where there's revelation. You've been so intertwined with God that you give your opinion and it is scripture. Someone comes to you and they give you a problem that you can't seem to track in switch. And say, you know, for me, what I know is, you leave the guy and the Spirit of the Lord comes and says, you've done well. And then someone says, but you see, he's just in his own opinions. What? Look at him. But yet the Spirit is backing up someone.
Yeah.
That's why I said depth is not knowing many scriptures. It is not. There are people who step in the spirit realm and the demons and the angels salute. I was watching a video with my wife this morning. A video of a guy on a street in the US singing like I've never seen. Man, he's in rugged clothes, but
fact, there are few people who can sing as good as that girl. But yet, when they do what? American Idol, what? They say best singer in the world. But there are people you know nothing about. Yeah, you guys. And so if you begin to realize that the world does not see who you are yet, damn it. Here are the people seated, seniors. You are never just meant to sit down and attend fellowships. By the way, that thing from here. Anyway, let me leave it. Because it's go ahead, attend fellowships. Attend. But I'm telling you, if you come here and I just want you to have results. I want you to have results. I want you to come and say, you said this. That night I went this, and I was taken to the spirit. And this, when I came back, I saw towards the... And this came. Then I say, hallelujah. Then I say, truly, I have begotten you. Praise the Lord.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.